Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to HealthyLife.net's Visionary Celebrity Series, a place where you get to call in and talk live to a world-renowned expert. Today's show is Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, a world-renowned expert on mind-body medicine and patient empowerment. So let's welcome Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Thank you for offering me a welcome. I was just thinking about something, not before I came on the program, but just listening to the introduction. We have five children, and it's hard for me to not tell you why, because when my wife became pregnant, she had three boys, not together, but, you know, one after another. And I told her I wanted a daughter take care of me when I got older. And as far as my wife was concerned, she'd been through enough pregnancies. But she was nice to me and finally said, all right, I'll try one more time. And then she learned she's going to have twins. And I never forget her saying to me, if it's two more boys, I am not coming home from the hospital. And that was my wife's typical sense of humor. And thank God, as she was giving birth, the obstetrician yelled out, oh, what a gentleman, he let his sister out first. And it was a day after Christmas, because my wife had said, I won't be in the hospital on Christmas. And she had amazing body control. So the next day she went into labor, and we named our daughter Carolyn for the Christmas carols that were filling the hospital. And then a boy came out. His name is Keith. But my mind just got back into that wonderful moment, so I forgot what I was going to tell you all about. But it's just the birth, the children, how we care. Because now that I have five, I mean, my wife died a few years ago, so I say I have five, and they're criticizing me for things that I did or said, and one of them, because I'm always looking at why am I who I am, what creates us, you know, it's our parenting, did you have a pet, where did you live, what kind of work did you do, I mean, all these things participate in creating you, that's what you're doing, and so when I looked at the paintings I've done, because I was always an artist since I was a child, drawing pictures, and I have painted portraits of all our family and, you know, written a book, The Art of Healing, because I used drawings by patients, because it reveals the unconscious. You know, if you said to me, I'm going to have surgery next week, and I said, draw yourself in the operating room, and you're just lying there alone on an operating table, I would say it's not a good idea if that's how you feel about it. And it helped people visualize what they were going to experience and turn it into something different by picturing it in their mind many times a day. And so if you're coming up with something, whether it's going to apply for a job, try out for something, go visit somebody, picture it in your head multiple times a day as something positive, and you change what your body expects by experiencing it. So whether it's going into the operating room or anything else. And there's unconscious information. I know I've mentioned these things before, but when it says in this little booklet we had made for kids to draw in, with crayons. The first page was, you'll meet an anesthesiologist who's wearing an outfit that looks like green pajamas. And the child drew him in red. And I said to the anesthesiologist, look at the last page. If he draws himself purple, I'm canceling the operation. That's a spiritual color. He could be telling me I'm going to die in the operating room. And what shocked me then was, you know, Bernie, he's right. It could happen. I said, what are you talking about? He said his mother has a genetic defect, muscular dystrophy. And if he has one of her genes, he could have an adverse reaction to a muscle relaxant and die due to it. So I said, look at the last page. And he draws himself, you know, in purple or going up in the sky, and he didn't. He just drew himself not happy going, you know, and going home. And so we went ahead with the surgery. But that changed. A lot of people in the hospital thought I was crazy when they would get reactions like that from adult or children drawing pictures. Anyway, our children were not happy with me because when they were younger, I painted portraits of all of them. And I was amazed a few months ago when walking through the house, I just looked at all of them. And it just impressed me how much was in a drawing or a painting. They were all oil-type paintings, you know, where one boy who had just massaged me, he's a massage therapist now, and his picture, he's hugging a lion. Imagine a child sitting down with a lion and not being afraid or being told by his parents, don't you dare go over there. He's sitting there hugging and petting this lion. And I thought, yeah, he was a massage therapist when he was a child, and he drew that picture. And that's who he is today. And all the kids, in a sense, showed what they were going to be when they grew up. And that impressed me. But not them, because in many cases, they didn't like me saying something about them, analyzing it from a painting that I did. Because if there were things missing from the painting, and I mentioned that, that it's not in their personality or that part of them, they don't like hearing those things. But it's not an accident. And I have to say, better to talk about myself. I drew myself as a surgeon, a cap, a mask, and a gown. And you don't know it's me. You're seeing surgical outfit. And it really woke me up because this is years later I'm looking at it and thinking, why did I do that? And then I noticed across the bottom of my neck on the painting it said, the high priest. And I can remember saying, what the hell am I putting that in there for? This is me as a surgeon. But that's when reading Jung and others made me learn what I was portraying. Because Jung said the reason monks shaved their head was to uncover their spirituality. It was that symbol. And when I read that, after having shaved my head, and it was the same year I painted that portrait and had a fight with the barber to get him to do it. But when I shared with all our kids their five paintings as children and how interesting it was to see what was in some of them, some loaded with people, and others where there's nobody else, no other human being in the painting, and how much that really fit them now, their personalities. That one is in, you know, been the mayor of his town, and in his portrait, he's playing his drums at a football game, halftime, and you know, the painting's filled with people and all kinds of things, and that's him. Whereas the other gentleman, he's in a portrait of himself, and there's not a single living thing except for a skunk hanging from his sweater that he's wearing in the painting. Yes, he's good with animals, but still, how about people? See, that's where I get more criticism when I do paintings or write to them. So I'd say be open to therapy. And that doesn't mean somebody coming up to you and saying, you're a terrible person, you're a horror, you're a mess, what are you doing to your kids? What are you doing, you know, to your family? You ruin your marriage. But it's more like saying, look, take a look at what you drew, how you portrayed yourself. Think about it. How can we improve that? How can we improve relationships? How you feel about work? How you feel about other people? Let that inner voice come forth and talk to you. And it is an inner voice. And we all have one. That's something I've learned. It's not just that I'm lucky. You know, I have an angel or I have that inner voice. It's there for all of us. But what it says to us has a lot to do with us. So if you don't want to know yourself and you shut that door, who knows what's going to happen to you, where you're going to head, will you ever live your life, will you ever really be happy with who you are? Think about it. And don't be afraid to get a box of crayons so you have all the colors. Draw pictures to help you, save you a lot of money in therapy. And as I said, one of my books is called The Art of Healing, and I put in on various pages drawings by patients and then go into them. I mean, some are people who were going in the operating room and you know, or who should I marry, or I used to have a lot of fun in the office when people said what was going on in their life, and I'd say, oh, draw me a picture. You know, it's like you got three guys you could marry, draw yourself with each one of them. I'll tell you which is the best choice. And yeah, everybody laughed, but it really worked very well because you could see what you added to the drawing or left out of it. You know, it's like if somebody didn't have ears, you'd say, they don't listen to you. They can't hear you, and you better think about that if you're going to have to live with them. And those are things that people went and talked about and did and remedied. And you can be your own therapist. So if something's coming up in your life, you can sit down, you have to have a full box of crayons, and draw a picture of whatever you want to learn about. And then put it away for a day, and then come back and take a look. And then you see you're looking at it as if somebody else drew it, because it's not your mind blinding you to things. And then you look at it and you see. And then you make choices and decide what you want to do with your life. So it can be, what job do I take, who do I marry, where do I live? What treatment should I get? It makes a hell and a heaven of a difference if you do those things. And at the hospital, I was always known as a crazy person. You know, how many surgeons say to their patients, here, draw a picture, and bring a box of crayons with them, instead of a scalpel. And, but the patients appreciated it because they knew it was stuff that was inside of them. And look, it really came out now and showed. And so there it was. And as I can say, as you walk through your house, all these paintings I'm talking about when our kids were young, a few years old and older, Because when I say to them, well, you want to take the paintings for your house, no, they don't rush and grab them. So they're throughout my house here. As I walk through the house, I'm seeing them again as children and learning from them. Because as I said, the one who's a massage therapist just massaged me the other day, and he's full of love. Lots of emails and lots of touch. And that's why when I look at him sitting there with his arms around the lion, and I painted that decades ago, and I just felt he's such a loving kid. That's where I want to put him. And others are put in different scenes where, you know, where it was emptier based on their personalities and things of that sort. Yeah, one of our, I'm not mentioning our children's names, as I said, we have five of them, but one of them said to me, because I'm trying to make him happy, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Where do you want to go to college? What do you want to do? Where do you want to live? Nothing ever worked. And he said to me, I always felt you were sending me away. That's interesting. Say, so how would he react if he said, draw yourself at this college or seeing a therapist or whatever? You're sending me away. Where somebody else is saying, thank you for sending me to college. What a difference. Thank you for the gift of an education. And, yeah, he's smart and capable and does a lot of things, but he had to get interested in them in order to accomplish anything. And it's still hard to have him, and I don't mean I don't love him, but being a parent to a child like that is a hell of a lot tougher than one who's filled with love, like the massage therapist, and sending you emails, I love you, I love you. Not, you know, criticizing, well, why did you do this? Or it could be criticizing with anything from a meal to what I wrote or said about something. And it's hard to communicate. So learn to communicate. And that's very different than telling people what to do and what to be. You know, I've said this before on this program, I'm sure, but this same boy, when he went to a psychiatrist, when he was really having trouble, and everybody was advising me and, you know, my wife to send him there, psychiatrist said, Bernie, save your money. I said, what is it? He said, your son sits here for an entire hour and never says anything. No patient has ever done that to me. And he said, it takes a lot of courage to sit in front of a psychiatrist, stare right into their eyes and say nothing. So don't worry about him, he'll be okay. And he is. I mean, he's okay in the sense of he's alive, has a lot of illnesses, which I think relate to his emotional issues and what that does to the immune system. And think about that. Say, Monday morning, we had more heart attacks, suicides, and strokes. And you'd say, why Monday? How do you feel when you get up on Monday? Oh, I got to go to work today. So think about it. Do what makes you happy. See, that's why I'm sitting here talking, because that's how I was brought up. As I grew up with my parents, and every time I'd give them a problem I had and say, all right, what's the best thing for me to do? Where should I go to college? What school should I go to? What should I, you know, this? What should I eat? It was always do what makes you happy. And I'd look at them, my parents, and say, how do I know what makes me happy? You know, what makes me happy is what's good for me. How do I know what's good for me? And you learn to pay attention to feelings. It isn't, what do I think I should have? What do I think I should do? where do I think I should live? It's what would make me happy. And I've said this on the show before, that I talk to God a lot. I'd be in my bedroom and I'd say, God, my parents are no help, so I need your help. What should I do? And by conversing with God, I could feel the difference in me and know what would make me happy. And I have so many stories of people who moved, changed their business, stopped worried about, you know, being a millionaire, knew they were dying and wanted to enjoy some of the time on the planet. And all these changes they made because of feelings now, not because where will I make more money, where will I have a nicer house, you know, where will I impress the neighbors and my family. They did what made them happy then. And, yeah, they were rewarded by not dying on the schedule their doctor told them. And I know I've said some of these things before, but I always remember the insurance company that called me and was yelling at me for talking to patients. I said, what's wrong with talking to a patient? You want to get paid? Operate on somebody. I said, take a look at your expense list and see how much money I saved you by talking, versus all the other surgeons that this woman had seen. So we'll be back in a minute and get into that stuff.
Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Heartwarming and heart-opening, these stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, M.D. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
Love, Magic, and Mud Pies is a brand new book by Bernie Siegel, M.D. It helps you raise your kids to feel loved, be kind, and make a difference. Bernie, a husband of over 50 years, father of five children, and grandparent of eight, shares the gems of wisdom he has gathered from his practice and his own family life. Using his caring, comforting, down-to-earth style, Bernie's book answers parenting questions and gives you a wealth of quotes, anecdotes, and parenting tips, delivered with just the right dose of compassion, inspiration, and gentle humor. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, an insightful, supportive, must-have guide on every aspect of parenting. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies by Bernie Siegel, M.D. is available on Amazon.com and find bookstores everywhere. Order it today. And don't forget to hear Bernie Siegel's show, Mind Health Matters, right here on HealthyLife.net.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hello again, everybody. Dr. Bernie Siegel. While we're off the air, we were talking about more things like numbers. And my wife was born on 9/9, and so nines were always significant in my life and still are. And after she died, I've told this before, and I went to the hospital. In the emergency room, I ended up in room 9, in the hospital 819. And my wristband, everything in it adds up to nines, you know, like 6363. 9/9. I drove the hospital staff crazy because I was always showing them everything that came in with numbers. I said, look, my wife's taking care of me. Look what the numbers are. And they would say, we know. Stop bothering us. But it gets to be mystical when those kinds of things happen. So keep your mind open. And if you want to talk to people who've died, go ahead. You know? Who said they can't hear you? Their spirit is still alive. They can hear you. They can guide you. They can tell you things. Even like my wife telling me when to get up in the morning. You know, if I look at the clock and there's no nines in it, I know I can sleep. But if it's the nines, it's, honey, it's that time. We got to get going. So look for signs. And it's that great consciousness that's passing them around and helping you live on your schedule and your cycle. And some people, I have to say, are better at it than others. As an artist, I have a very visual sense. So I can see things that other people don't see. I mean, it's there in a drawing or a painting, but it isn't there in a meaningful way to the other people. It's just, you know, okay, that's a blue hat, you know, and maybe I'll give the color blue a meaning. So I'm often asking people to draw pictures. You know, who should I marry? What job should I take? Where should I live? Yeah. Pay attention to all those things. Draw pictures. And you have to have all colors available. You know, black, white, and all the rainbow, including brown, black, white, and brown, and have them there, and then use what feels right. Yeah, and this one son were got mad at me for my interpreting my painting of him as a child, you know, that there were no people in it, and just him. And he doesn't want to draw a picture now. He's afraid to show things about himself. Whereas other kids, if they said, oh, I'm moving, I'm getting a job, what should I do? I'd say, here, draw this. Yeah, our oldest son, he's dealing with a type of cancer. And I said, draw a picture of yourself, have a full box of crayons available, and then draw an outdoor scene with you walking around. And as I'm talking about him, he just walked in the room. So there are no coincidences. He's just here. He lives about an hour or so away, but he came to visit. And he's willing to learn and listen. And I'm proud of him. Because if I say to him, draw a picture, we'll take a look at it, he did. And he gave him advice, and he's doing well with his disease. And as I said, he's the oldest and, the most mature. And became an attorney. Yeah, I was thinking it would be wonderful if he became a doctor too, a surgeon. But that's not part of his personality. So he went to law school. And, yeah, but see, he's interested in people. Well, I'm telling you this. He didn't open a law office. He got involved taking care of people, helping people, became political, and became the mayor of his town. And then after he ran, you know, the usual course as the mayor, a couple of years later they reelected him because they wanted him back and could do that after he wasn't, you know, the mayor for a year or two. And that impressed me. And I have mentioned that in his painting, his portrait, he played a drum. He's at college playing at our neighborhood Yale football stadium when our team, Colgate, was playing Yale. And in the painting, he's surrounded by people. I mean, here's the guy who's going to be a mayor, if you know what I mean. I mean, he's at his football stadium at halftime playing the drum with everybody around him, animals and people. And there are other kids of ours who don't want an animal. They like animals, but they're not crowded with them. You know, one may be in the picture. They may have some in their house. But it's not that personality to show feelings and the things that they do with their life. And so I got to give John a lot of credit for all the things he's done, growing and learning, and others have not. And others teach me. Yeah, they know more than I do. So in their life experience. So I really appreciate the massage therapist, you know, how touch between the two of us means something to each of us. So touch people. Even as a doctor, just holding somebody's hand in the hospital as we go into the operating room. Touch people. Touch them with your words, with your look, with your smile. You change their body chemistry. I've told you, and I've been on this show, when I walked in to the bedroom to wake my wife up and walked over and took her hand and felt the ice-cold hand, I knew she had died during the night. And I immediately had a pain in my heart that was literally like somebody stabbing me with a knife. And that's why you realize your feelings become your physical body, too. Your emotions become your chemistry. I have a house sitter here, an aide, an angel. These are all terms, you know, we use to describe them. And she's here to keep me company and take care of me and, you know, make meals and do things. When I say take care, I mean, you know, doing things that I then don't have to do, from tidying up to cooking to everything else. And also giving me rules to live by so I take care of myself. That I laugh at mostly. Because when I say I'm going here, I'm doing this, and I'm, no. Because I have some balance issues. And because when my wife died, as I said, my heart went crazy, the rhythm. So I fell a couple of times, banged my head and body, and, you know, got dizzy spells. So she's got to be near me when I'm walking around and she could grab my belt and hold me up if I stumbled. But I'm using a walker, just so you all know, and don't start worrying about me. I go around the house with that. But when you have somebody who cares about you, it's nice to have them around and to let you know they care. And sort of repairing you, if you know what I mean. Because if I'm acting crazy, I have somebody here who can remind me I'm not acting like an adult. And also, she can, you know, I mentioned all these things about our children. I mean, she can be an intermediate who steps between me and our children and helps, you know, the relationship go on. Yeah, because she sees things in some of them that's the problem too, and in some where I may be the problem, and I can change and help things. So don't be afraid to ask people if they see something that you should change, a way of behaving differently to help. And don't be afraid to ask the people you're living with and your children, your family, and say, you know, when they get angry at you for something, say, oh, what is it? What can I do? You can change. And I know I'm a visual person. My wife's very much into words. So there were times we'd have trouble. Because, I mean, what I had to laugh at, people would come up to me and say, hi, Dr. Siegel. My wife would say, why didn't you introduce me? I said, I don't remember who they are, what their name is. They're a patient of mine, but I can't remember everybody's name. And so at least at that point, she began to forgive me for not introducing my wife to my patients. And she would step forward and say, hi, I'm Bernie's wife. And then they'd say, oh, hi, I'm Jack and my wife Judy, blah, blah, blah. And I'd hear that, and then I'd remember them. And so my wife became my therapist. And don't be afraid to speak up if you don't like how someone's behaving. It's not saying you're a terrible person. How the hell did you do act like that? Say, this is not appropriate. It doesn't help the situation. Why don't we work out something, a different way of solving this? You know, that we talk to each other, we share our issues, what it is that's having us see things differently. And then you can smooth things out and develop, you know, like the artist in you can develop the person who likes music too, and hear things appropriately. So keep it up. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Yeah, people, if you said, I could use your help, they like to hear that, because that's complimenting them. But if you don't know the person, you don't know what they're feeling. It took me a long time until my wife finally said, why don't you introduce me to people? Why don't you this? Why don't you? And I said, because I can't remember who they are, so I can't introduce my wife to them. I can't remember names. I remember faces, so I'm saying hello to people, but not their names. And, of course, she took over and would step forward and say, hi, I'm Bernie's wife, Bobby. And then I was safe, because they would always introduce themselves to her, and I knew who they were and their history, and I could talk to them and about, you know, their health and other issues. Don't be afraid to say what your weaknesses are and have people strengthen them. So it's okay to say, I'm not a visual person, or I can't remember words or names. It's amazing. And my wife had an incredible memory. And that's why she did stand-up one-liners, you know, comedy routines. And, oh, boy, was she a big hit. I mean, she never did it professionally to make money, but when I did lectures and workshops and other places we went, she would go up on stage and perform. And I don't know how you can keep, you know, like 60, 90 or more jokes in your head and do them one after another. And the audience is hysterical, and everybody's loving her, and she just keeps going on and on and on. I used to panic, cause thinking, what if she forgets? How am I going to help her? And what I finally did one day was write down the first line of every joke she told. So if she got distracted after 20 minutes by something happening, I could say the next line, and she'd just go boom, right back into her trance and start again. And that worked very well. So, yeah, you can make a list, and your family can help you and prompt you. But it's amazing how the brain can be into words, images, and sounds, all kinds of things that make you feel different when you hear them. You know, like a certain song, you hear it, and how it makes you feel. A love song, something dramatic, and who you become. So don't forget. And then our famous son, life sucks. Most people suck. And if you wake up one day and everyone loves one another, you're dead. Yeah, that's the boy I told you I had trouble with. You know, when I describe him and my painting I did of him, where there's no other people and only one animal, a skunk, there. And how he felt with that. But again, he's a handsome guy, and that's him, you know, not into all the feelings and the emotions. And he would have been better as a doctor. He's more the scientist, you know. He would have been diagnosing everybody's troubles. I think he would have been damn good at it, because it would have been like a mechanical approach, or being a surgeon. So doing something when people had a problem rather than talking to them about the problem. Because I was always doing things like that. You know, they'd have a disease. How would you describe what you're experiencing? And then I'd get emotional stuff, and we'd talk about that before you take somebody to the operating room. You know, I've said this on these shows all the time, that I get getting calls from insurance companies. We don't pay a surgeon for talking. I said, look at how much you've spent while the patient is seeing me versus how much you spent while she was seeing another surgeon. And they always got back on the phone and said, okay, keep talking. And I'd laugh. But they saw what a difference it made. If you made the patient feel better, they didn't need so many operations and things done to them as they did when they were seeing, you know, some other surgeon whose solution to everything was, all right, I'll operate, all right, I'll operate. All right, we'll cut this out, we'll do this, we'll fix this. And then they did not end up curing everybody. So I say again, be careful and always ask yourself, how would I describe what I'm experiencing? If I had to come up with one word. Yeah, and I'm serious when I say that to you, to think that way. Because if you come up with a word that really knocks you on the head when it suddenly means something to you, you know what needs to be repaired in your life. And I've had that happen so many times when I've said, what word would you use to describe what you're going through? And I'm asking them this in an emergency room or my office, and they look at me and they say, thank you, and they get up and leave because they know what they need to go home and fix. All right, I think we have to take a break, I'm told, in a minute. So
before you go to bed, in the middle of the night, when you can't sleep, or in the morning, fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, M.D. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
The Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Heartwarming and heart-opening, these stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
What can you learn from exceptional patients? Plenty. No matter what disease you are dealing with, Dr. Bernie Siegel's book, Peace, Love, and Healing, can help you identify the hidden factors that may be stopping you from getting well. What are the hidden factors? Are you ready? Guilt and blame. Find out how guilt and blame is related to your lifestyle and illness. In Peace, Love, and Healing, Bernie, as he likes to be called, will tell you what steps you can take to heal a life and cure a disease. Peace, Love, and Healing. Get it today at fine bookstores or at Bernie's website, ecap-online.org.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
I was just told this is the last 8 minutes. And we talked about numbers before. And what 8 means is a new beginning. Every religion has 7 days in the week. So the 8th day, a new beginning. Now they may vary their monthly numbers, but not the weekly. And just so you know, that my numbers, when I went to the emergency room, they had their 8s, 3893966 and 27491962 8. But when I say 3893966, if you add the 6s and 3s, all mine are my identity number, you. And the case number is 27, a 9, 8, 1, a 9, 2 9s, and then a 6, 2, 1. So every number added up to 9s. It's just crazy when you recombine them and what happens. So keep your eyes open for special things. You never know what you're going to see or find. And people will think you're crazy. That I agree to. Because, you know, when you get a wristband put on in the emergency room or in doctor's office or wherever, and you start saying, oh my God, look at this, I'm going to be fine. They're looking at you like, what are you talking about? You're going to be fine. We just put a wristband on. That's not. And then I point out all the numbers, and they don't know what to do with me. And there are two numbers. One is a case number, the other is a patient number. So there's a 27 and a 412. You know, 8199621, you have all these combinations that come out to nine. And I'm looking, this was a few years ago. I guess this wristband has been sitting in my drawer here at my desk because it says 10/14/1932, my birthday, 89 years. And I'm almost 92, so this is several years ago. I guess I just dropped it in the drawer and it's just been sitting there. Because I tend to save them when they put them on my wrist. And I wear them for a while. And the reason I like to do it is to put a puzzle in somebody's head. Make them think about it. Because if you open their minds a bit, it changes things. And that's the big part of what changed me as a doctor. That, I've said this on the show before, the nurses would come over to me and say, why are so many patients paging you and you're not their doctor? And I knew it was because I was crazy. That's why. So they could talk to me when they couldn't talk to their doctor. That their doctor would say, you know, that's silly. I don't have time for talking about that. Blah, 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 blah. And so they'd say, all right, I'll page Siegel. I can talk to him. And then they would feel better about experiencing things. Let me read a quote that says, lying here, no coincidences. Bertrand Russell. Thought for today. Three passions. Simple, but overwhelmingly strong. Have governed my life. And this is Bertrand Russell. The longing for love, the search for knowledge, and unbearable pity for the suffering of mankind. And I can honestly say that's what changed my life. Started a group called Exceptional Cancer Patients. Why? Looking for ways to help people, wanting to express love, wanting to help people because of the suffering that they were going through. And so I learned from patients that I call survivors who exceeded expectations. And you begin to give people hope, what a difference it makes. See, it changes your chemistry. We're back to that again. If you're happy, the hormones in your body are different than if you're depressed. You know, it's like the Monday morning syndrome. I don't like my job. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to... Fine, get sick. And they do. But then something nice happens. And they get well. And I really used to laugh at how many wealthy people running businesses that they didn't really like doing and then learned they had life-threatening illnesses. And what did they do? They changed their business. I mean that literally. They either quit what they were doing, or they changed the nature of their business. So they made it more fun to go in and, you know, do whatever they needed to do and how they reacted with people. And then, of course, business always improves and you get healthier. So don't forget. I forgot who said it, but when you live in your heart, magic happens. And as I said, when I grew up, Ma, I don't know what to do. Do what makes you happy. Ma, you're not helping me. Bernie, do what makes you happy. And I finally learned how to know what made me happy, you know, how to have feelings and pay attention to them. Yeah. Because as I've gotten older, as I said, you know, spending time in bed could be, oh, I feel guilty, I'm lying in bed, I'm not doing anything. I'm not working in the front yard, I'm not this. But I realized I can't do it anymore. Stop feeling guilty. Then you get a nice gardener who comes along, and boy, you feel so much better. And that feels so nice. And I just looked out the window as I'm talking to all of you, and there are a lot of clouds. It's very dark for the afternoon in my area. But, you know, life is like that. There are clouds. There are times where there are no sunshine. But we need to have change. That's how we sustain ourselves, through change. But you learn from the change. You don't suffer because something changed. Learn from it. Learn from it. And then you can become a survivor. And there's so much now, especially with the internet, so many ways to read what people have written, what they've experienced, and incorporate it into your life. And you'll find that when you connect with survivors, they all sound alike. You know, there may be little differences in what they're saying, but they're basically talking about the same principles. Do what makes you happy. Pay attention to your feelings. You know, not just thinking and asking yourself, what'll impress the neighbor? No, what will make you happy? And that's why, when you have parents who tell you, I want you to make money, not do what makes you happy, you've got to take care of yourself. Like, you know, I keep talking about Trump all the time, that poor guy. But he's a product of his childhood, of his parents, of all that goes on. And he isn't the only one. I'm not just picking on him, but it's, you know, how important material things are to him, being success to him. You know, why not just take a rest? Be good to yourself. Yeah, think about it. What if he took time off and just started helping other groups and other organizations? I'm sure he'd be back as president right after that. And that's hard for a lot of people to do because they're not brought up that way. You know, they're into what's good for me, not what's good for the world. You know, like having a Mother Teresa taking care of you versus some politician. Anyway, folks, love you all. Have a peaceful day. Let your feelings guide you. And keep asking yourself that when you have a decision. How does it feel to do this? And it'll help you be able to respond without having to think about it. Because that gets in the way, thinking. But just pay attention to how I'm feeling. And then follow your feelings. When you wake up, you'll be in the right place. Love you all. And if you want to have some fun, draw a picture of yourself. Just grab a box of crayons, draw a picture of yourself, put it aside for a couple of days, and then go and look at it, and you'll see it as if somebody else drew it and learn about yourself. Okay.